There are lots of ways that I, as a Christian, can think of myself. I can see myself as a church member. I can see myself as a believer, as we have been preaching all this year. I can see myself as a servant. But I believe that the most important way that Henry Wright can see himself is, I am forgiven. I am forgiven. Would you say that out loud? I am forgiven. Let's pray. Speak to us, Lord, on this day. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know why our attendance is small today, but maybe everybody's not ready to hear about being forgiven. God knows. Forgiven. It is difficult if somebody has really done a job on you to forgive them. Now, the truth be known, everybody should have said amen. See, there is fake forgiveness. There are people who say they forgive you, and then every time you see them, they bring it up. Can I get a witness? Or in little innuendo ways, little innuendo ways, still suddenly beat you up. They gave you money and you promised to give it back, and you were slow in giving it back, and you finally give it back and say, well, you're forgiven. But then every time you see them, you know, people that just don't give money back, isn't that something to say? Now, you're already feeling bad. They just won't turn it loose. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yes. Now, this is a homily, so I don't have much time, and I'm not going to take a lot of time. I've entitled this brief reflection, Joseph's Victory. Joseph's Victory. So let me get right to it by reading something I put right at the beginning of these few little notes. Here it is. Today, we prepare to take the Lord's Supper. Just reading my notes. And then I wrote, and I put it in caps, I want to talk about the most basic essence of being a Christian. We must, what did I say? We must be willing to forgive. Joseph, at age 17, was assaulted, brutally cast into a pit, betrayed into slavery, sold to Potiphar, pursued by Potiphar's immoral wife, then set up by her, led on by her, falsely cast into prison because of her. He then, in prison, provides comfort to a fellow prisoner by interpreting that prisoner's dream and assures the prisoner you'll be free in 3 days. And the prisoner was freed in 3 days. This prisoner, the personal butler of Pharaoh, goes back to his posh life of service to Pharaoh and promptly forgets Joseph and leaves Joseph in prison for 2 more years. Now, all of this trauma was caused, Joseph, by 11 people. Well, 10. 10 people. His brothers. His brothers, y'all. You do know that the hardest people to forgive in life are members of your family. Yes. Come on, don't sit there pious. Yes. See, you can ignore that person outside the family. You don't have to see him, but that person grinning in your face. At family reunion. Yes. Come on now. Yes. Somebody said, preacher, somebody's in this sermon with me. Yes. Sitting there grinning and acting like everything. You know, I had a relative that I rented a house to. And they got behind in their payments escaped. And showed up at family reunion, you know, just say something. You know, man, I'm working on you. I know it's rough on you. Something. Don't come up and grin. Hug me. Don't do that. You owe me money. Is anybody with me? All of this trauma. And for 13 years of agonizing injustice caused by these 10 people, Joseph's brothers, and the Bible describes how they felt about him. I mean, in Genesis 37, I don't have time to read all this stuff, y'all, but Genesis 37 just gives you a feel of the animosity. Genesis 37, verses 2 through 5. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, because he made him a tunic of many colors. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. You see that? Verse 8. And his brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more. It was hate, then more hate. In verse 11, and his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter to himself. Hated, envy. You recall when he finally showed up, when they were out there taking care of their father's flocks, what happened? Here comes this dreamer. And they connived to do him in. Now, do him in. Now, listen, folks, listen. It wasn't that Joseph was just totally innocent. He was a tattletale, wasn't he? I had brothers. I had brothers. Don't tell on me now. I'll tell on me. He was a tattletale, and he was spoiled. But nothing that he did warranted the treatment he received. And he would suffer for 13 years slavery, joy, imprisonment, abandonment, and lots of injustice. Now, I don't know what your temperament's like. I'm a melancholic. And stuff boils in us. All the melancholics say amen. Yeah, boils. Yeah, boils. And see, I get visions. Yeah, I'm, I can see you hanging upside down. Huh? Is anybody with me here? We talk about forgiveness, y'all. I can picture you in misery. And I'm not sad, Court. I'm saying, Are you with me?
Yes.
13 years of picturing them at home with his father. 13 years of seeing them sitting at the supper table, enjoying the food that was prepared. 13 years of knowing they were free and going hither and yon and enjoying the 13 years of the boiling poison of injustice. Now, the first major point of this little homily. The beauty of forgiveness is that you actually have something to forgive them for. That slipped right by you. I'm going to say it again. The beauty of forgiveness is when the person really has done something that's bad, that needs to be forgiven, and the and forgiveness is more beautiful the worse they did you. Didn't get a lot of amens on that. If they've really banged you, if they've really done you in and you forgive, now, heaven pays attention. Because the Bible says in Romans 8, 5, Christ commends his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, the Greek says enemies, Christ died for us. The Bible says this is big. Why? He died not for his friends, not for his buddies. He died for his enemies. Now that's something. That's something. That's forgiveness. When you have just cause to be upset, just cause to resent, when you have just cause not to want to deal with the person again, and some of us specialize in this halfway forgiveness. I forgive them, but I don't want them around me. And we feel justified. Oh, yeah, I've forgiven them, but I don't want to see them now. But they're forgiven. They're really forgiven. Don't bring them around. The Bible casts the requirement to forgive in the light of being forgiven. Ephesians 4:32. We got to get there. Ephesians 4 and verse 32. Look at this. And be kind to one another. Do you see it? Tenderhearted. Doing what? Everybody's talking, doing what? Even as God in Christ forgave you. See, here's the equation. Now, there's nothing new or profound in this sermon. But here's the equation. God says, you've been forgiven. End of discussion. Why do I forgive? You've been forgiven. The law of Christianity is, since you've been forgiven, I don't want to hear anything about why you can't forgive. Amen. This is God talking. I said we're talking about something that's basic, your Christian experience. Look at Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Go to Matthew. Oh, there's so many texts, you can't read them all. Matthew 6. Look at this. Matthew 6, verse 12. And you've read this before. And forgive us our debts as... Oh, I wish that word was not in there. I wish that word was not in the Bible. If you would just say, forgive him because he forgives. No. God says, no. There's a measuring rod. What is it? I'm going to forgive you just like you forgive other people. You a halfway forgiver? You're going to be a halfway forgiven. I just read the text, y'all. You can't make this stuff up. God has a measuring rod. You a long time forgiving? I'm going to be a long time forgiving you. You forgive, but you make people crawl to get forgiveness. I'm going to make you crawl before you get forgiven. Wow. How come you're not saying amen? This is what the text, the Lord's, this is the Lord's, you pray it piously. Yes. Forgive us our debts, even as we forgive. You just nailed yourself when you pray that. You just nailed yourself against the wall. You're going to get forgiven the way you forgive. And that's why there's some people sitting here right now who don't feel forgiven. Because God has not given you the peace of forgiveness. Because there is somebody you have not given the peace of your forgiveness. God can't let you have peace when you have not given peace. Now we have cause to admire Joseph. Matthew 18:35, I don't have time to read it. It says you must forgive. Oh, this one gets to me. It says you must forgive Matthew 18:35, from your heart. You got to feel it. See, as a melancholic, I'm good at cold forgiveness. Am I forgiven? Will you forgive me? Oh, yeah, you're forgiven. I'm walking away while I'm saying it. Yeah, you're forgiven. It's all right. We cool. God says, when you say that, Henry Wright, I'm reading your heart. Because my forgiveness for you, Henry, comes from my heart. You got to feel it. Now, we have cause to admire Joseph. He excelled in Potiphar's house. Though his house slave, he excelled in integrity, though immorally pursued by his master's wife. He excelled in prison, though placed there unjustly. He came through and interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, showing no retribution to the butler for God. Now, the butler better be glad I wasn't Joseph. Because when I finally got promoted next to Pharaoh, I'd have said, send me the butler. We need to have a talk. 2 years, buddy! I'm making you smile because this thing is serious. There's no record, Warfield, that he ever got that butler back. And I'm sure that when that butler, standing next to Pharaoh, saw Joseph promoted to prime minister, he said, oh. This whole thing has turned around. Do you imagine how Potiphar felt when Joseph was promoted? We won't discuss his wife. Joseph's the big cheese now. See, how do you act? Hear the pastor, saints, about to take the bread and about to take the juice. Listen to your pastor. How do you handle when things turn your way? And those who have done you wrong, you've got the upper hand. How do you handle it when the boss that did you wrong, now you're their boss? Now, talking about Joseph's victory. The Bible, I talked about Joseph's triumphs. But none of these things were his greatest accomplishments. None of these moments are as commendable as the one I'm addressing. See, the Bible in Matthew 5, flip over there real quick. Matthew 5, the Bible likens forgiveness to godliness. Matthew 5:38, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Yes. Come on, y'all. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. You do well to be quiet. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. The folks always say, amen. You ain't never done that. You know somebody hits the side of the head, you're going to knock them flat. Second cheek, they ain't never going to see your second cheek. Folks always say, when you read, amen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Verse 40. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let them have your cloak also. Remember, don't just give them the one from Macy's. Give them the one from Nordstrom's. Give them that one. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. And you know, you meet people who'll take advantage of it. Okay, you stop and fix the tire. Well, could you give me some gas money? Look, I just fixed your tire. Get your own gas money. And I believe with all my heart that God sends these people to us. Because listen to me, saints, the pastor's preaching to you. He's trying to drive you to another level. Come on, somebody, we got to get to another level. This human level is not set. It will not get you into the kingdom. You got to become Christ. Just take it, take it. Woo, I'm preaching to me, not to you. Give to him who asks you, verse 42, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Now, this is where I'm trying to get to this one, because, folks, really, I don't do well with folks owing me money.
Yeah.
I'm telling you now, so you know that. I don't do well with that. In fact, to protect myself, when people come saying they went to borrow, I'll just say, I'll give it to you. Because, see, I don't want to hear you say, I'll give it back, and don't do it. I don't do well with that. I'm growing in Christ, but I'm not there yet. If you tell me you've given it back, give it back! Or get out of my face! I gotta tell, I'm about to take the bread and juice, I gotta tell the truth. Verse 43, you've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, boy, I tell you, Jesus is something. Love your enemies. Bless them who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now, if you ever learn to live, verse 44, I want to meet you. That's a verse. Because the verse is saying, empty yourself of all resentful feelings. Now, folks, that's hard. For, verse 45, that you may be, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? The tax collectors do that. And if you greet your brethren only, what do you more than others? The tax collectors do that. Therefore, we love verse 48, but we always read it out of context. This verse, 48, is talking about forgiveness. Be perfect, even as your Father is perfect. That is, perfect in forgiveness. Let's finish it. So Joseph's greatest triumph was when his brothers showed up. Now, he struggles at first. Have you read that chapter?
Yes.
He hides his identity. He's wrestling. He holds Simeon hostage.
Yes.
Come on, y'all.
Yes.
You know, we try to make Joseph a hero.
Yes.
Well, he saw them buzzards coming in there for food. Joseph said, Joseph had to pray. The Bible says he stepped out. He stepped out, he had to pray, Lord, that's them. I recognize them. And I have not forgotten. They left me in a pit,
yes.
Sold me.
Yes.
He walked back out there on the hill and said, didn't tell them anything. He sets them up to appear as thieves with their own money. Didn't he?
Yes.
Come on now, we're talking about your hero, Joseph. By his actions, he causes trauma to his aging father by demanding that his brothers bring back Benjamin. He sets up the second time to appear as thieves with his drinking cup. Now, I know you say, well, God was using Joseph to teach his brothers a lesson. Let me read you something. Brethren, put that up there. There we go. Everybody will be getting ready to take the juice and the bread. Ready? Let's read. Come on. He who is unforgiving cuts off the very channel through which alone he can receive mercy from God. Read. We should not think that unless those who have injured us confess their wrong, we are justified. I'll forgive them, Pastor. They got to come and see me now. They come, we'll talk. Ellen White says, bam. You're not to feel justified. In other words, they don't have to humble themselves before you, Heskey. You got to forgive them. Brother, walk around with your money. Smiling at you. Don't say sorry, nothing, Heskey. I just read it. You got to forgive them. That's all right. Spend my money. Pay your bills with my money. See, I'm making you smile because this thing is so deeply serious. Somebody in this room is losing their soul. Sabbath keeping will not cover it. Tithe returning will not fix it. Even going out and doing service work will not make you acceptable. You have to look inside and reach out to that person and forgive. Not because they meet some standard that you have set up. They show themselves humble? Okay. They be contrite, Pastor. Lord says I should forgive the contrite. No, everybody. Read on. It is their part, no doubt, to humble their hearts by repentance and confession. But we are to have a spirit of toward those who have. Read the next sentence. Whether or not they confess their faults. Let's finish reading it. However sorely they have wounded us, we're not to cherish our grievances and sympathize with ourselves over our injuries. But as we hope to be pardoned for our offenses against God, read it, we are to pardon all. Joseph's victory. They finally come to Egypt. Gets them all there, all 70 of them. And then Jacob dies. And them brothers say, uh-oh. Daddy's gone. And Joseph's got the power. And a very beautiful thing, Warfield, happens. You see, Warfield's sermon this morning was about being willing to say, I'm sorry. He and I did not talk. My sermon is about what you do when they say, I'm sorry. And so over here, the dear sister read it so beautifully, are these words. Verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before our father died, he commanded saying, thus shall you say to Joseph. Now notice, they kind of soften that thing. Joseph, we here because our daddy said, you know, you should come. I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. In that moment, Rodney, we find out who Joseph is. Before he's prolonged it, but now, this is the moment. Well, I've been thinking about it. The Lord's helping me. I do a lot of praying. He really hurt me. No. Verse 19, Joseph said, don't be afraid. Am I going to act like God? You meant evil. You have to kind of get that out. But God meant it for good. Verse 21, now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you your little ones. And then, the Bible says, he comforted them. Somebody in this sanctuary has got some comforting to do. I kept you smiling throughout this sermon. I want to be the pastor of a church that lives as forgiven, that basks in the sunshine, that my sins are washed away. And therefore, Nicole, I will hold nothing over the head of anybody. My spouse, my son, my daughter, my parents, nobody. Because I know I'm forgiven. And I don't want to deny anybody that feeling. It is a precious gift, David, when you can know you have released someone. You set them free. Why? Because you've been set free. Come on, saints. And the sense of joy and fulfillment. Bow your head. Before we go wash feet, let's just bow our heads. Father, we go through this exercise once a quarter. Washing one another's feet, receiving the emblems of the Christ who has forgiven us. I want you, Lord, today to purge somebody. Somebody in this room will need to make a call after this service and set somebody free. Somebody, it's so bad, you really need to make a personal visit and set somebody free. Why? You've been set free. When you take this bread and you eat this juice, your sins are forgiven, blotted out. How can you walk around blotted out and then not blot somebody else out? Done with it. It's over. Pastor, they've never said, I'm sorry, but we already read that. They don't owe you no confession. You owe them forgiveness because you've been forgiven. It's simple as that. It's not about them. It's about what Christ has done for you. Oh, what spiritual power will come into the pews of Tacoma Park Church if we become a forgiving people. The Holy Spirit will not be able to resist us. Power from on high will come down. Because these are people who live forgiven and therefore live forgiving. So Lord, I'm praying for me, for them, for us. If you feel the desire today to respond to God's forgiveness, you have not done so. You have not joined the church. You have not prepared for baptism. You have not signed up for Bible studies. You have not responded to God's forgiveness in your life. And you want to do so. There's that little card. Just look in the back of the pews right there. Right behind the tithe envelopes. You can take that card and fill it out right now. And place it in the hand of the deacons when the offering is received. Make your commitment today. Thank you, Lord. We go forth now to bow before one another and wash feet. We go forth now to receive the body and the blood. In Christ's name. I said in Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen. That was a good word.